Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall.
Welcome back. Today we're going to talk about the diagnosis of and assessment of obsessive compulsive disorder. There's a few steps that you have to follow when you're making this diagnosis, and we're just going to kind of go through those steps real quickly for you guys today.
Right. We will post some readings about this,
yeah.
But just by warning, there aren't huge articles or readings about diagnosis and assessment, because this particular disorder is diagnosed as in a certain way,
right?
And doesn't lend itself to long explanations. So.
Right, right.
But there are some steps that are important to follow.
And like most all mental health conditions, you know, there's again, we're back to, there's no brain scans, there's no blood tests, there's nothing like that that is diagnostic in nature. Mm-hmm. So you can't do a brain scan on someone and say that's the brain of a person with OCD.
Right. We think that there are certain brain structures that are related to this disorder, but those are research studies across large groups of people who happen to have this, but there are many exceptions. Mm-hmm. And so there are no diagnostic tools, no images or lab tests or scans that we can use for this. This is your clinical diagnoses. And you use your best judgment.
Which takes us to right at the beginning of how we're going to start this discussion of making an assessment or making a diagnosis, and that is the clinical interview, the diagnostic evaluation. Mm-hmm. And during that time, you know, the person, the diagnostician or the clinician, the psychologist or therapist or psychiatrist is going to ask you about obsessive thoughts or compulsive behaviors and look to see if you have one or both of those symptoms.
That's where it starts. I mean, there's a lot of confusion about this because the term OCD has moved into common parlance. You know, people say, oh, she's OCD, or you're OCD, you're so OCD. You have to have the one or both of these conditions. You either have to have intrusive thoughts or you have to have repetitive behaviors.
Right, and having them is just step one.
That's right.
That's just criteria A.
That's right, and that's what's important to remember. Because you have those doesn't mean you have a diagnosis.
Right.
All it says is you have those,
right,
one or both.
Because the next part that is necessary, according to the DSM, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, the next part that is required for this to be a diagnosis that's made is that there has to be both distress and impairment.
That's right.
Distress means that the obsessive thoughts or compulsive behaviors distresses or causes some problems for the patient.
Right.
It can't be that, I do that, but you know, it doesn't bother me, I don't care. It just makes my life easier when I do that.
And that's exactly, we laughed earlier in yesterday's podcast about, I have to make sure I have my four things as I'm walking out the door, or I have to come back and make sure I've locked the office door, but we're laughing about that.
Right.
Okay. It's not a cause of distress. It doesn't ruin my day that I had to come back and look.
Right.
Okay. It doesn't, and I don't have to do it every day of my life.
Right. Okay. And when it comes to impairment, it doesn't consume a great deal of time your life.
Right.
You know, people with obsessive compulsive disorder, these obsessions and compulsions take them away from other things that they need to be doing for a considerable amount of time for their day.
We talked about this months ago. I don't remember in what context, but the fellow who can't make a left turn, he will drive miles out of his way because he has this behavior. You know, he can't make a left turn when he's driving, and so it does take time and energy and planning to figure out how to get to wherever he's going, making only right turns.
Right.
If he lived in Texas, he'd be using a lot of gas because you got to drive a long way between stops.
Yeah.
You know, so say in Florida.
That's right. So there, in addition to the obsessions and or compulsions, you have to have distress and impairment.
And I like that part about DSM-5.
Right.
That you have to be impaired. People will always ask us, do you think I have this? Well, if they're not impaired, if it's not causing some impairment, they're probably not going to receive a diagnosis.
Right. Now, at this point, once we reach this point in the evaluation, we've done a pretty good job of saying that we're looking at OCD. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to differentiate OCD, again, from OCPD, the obsessive compulsive
really
personality
important.
Disorder.
Right, it's an important distinction.
Yeah, and it's not super easy to do.
Right.
Though it is helpful to know that OCPD isn't very common.
Right.
It's not one of the more common personality disorders. But, mm-hmm. you know, you do have to differentiate that and make sure that that's not happening. You also have to rule out anything that could be causing those symptoms. So you need to make sure that the person isn't abusing any substances or taking any medications or anything like that that could be causing the obsessive compulsive symptoms.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So once you're there, again, you then progress to making sure that there's no, you know, yesterday we talked about related disorders.
Exactly.
And so you have to rule out any of those.
Could it be one of the other disorders that that are related to obsessive compulsive disorder, where it's appearing just in a single area, like hoarding disorder or body dysmorphic disorder, where you're just talking about, and that's why the clinical interview is so important.
Right.
You know, I said before on the program that I worked in neurology more years ago than I want to remember, and there was a sign over the door, in the physician's door, in neurology, history is everything.
Right.
And in psychiatry, history is everything.
Right. Right. Yeah, absolutely.
So you do a careful clinical interview, and you have to answer each one of these questions.
Right.
And if it's yes, 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 then you're moving toward a diagnosis.
Right, right. And now once you've differentiated some of those related disorders, some of the ones we talked about yesterday, sort of the final step is you're going to look at other related, potentially comorbid, but other complicating diagnoses, such as ADHD and anxiety disorders and autism and things like that, that could be, you know, resulting in the manifestation of some of these same behaviors, but also could be present as a comorbid diagnosis.
Exactly.
When it comes to things like Tourette's disorder, for example, you know, Tourette's disorder is its own diagnosis, and sometimes we put Tourette's disorder within the family of obsessive compulsive spectrum disorders, but, you know, about 60% or so of people with Tourette's disorder also have OCD.
Right.
About 60% of people with Tourette's disorder also have ADHD.
Right.
And so you have this sort of trifecta that happens with people sometimes where they have Tourette's, OCD, and ADHD. And boy, that becomes challenging.
And every time we mention repetitive behaviors, what comes to mind? Autism spectrum disorder.
Right.
Okay. And so be careful that, I mean, we need to be careful that we're not looking at something else that looks like a horse, but it's actually a zebra.
Right.
You know? Be careful. And you need to know these things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, so you mentioned the last two, which was you have to rule out the related disorders.
Right.
So you need to know those and make sure you're not stumbling into one of those. But also the disorders that might look like and can be misdiagnosed as OCD.
Okay.
I was going to talk about when you Google, you know, people Google these things.
Right.
And they say, well, I Googled it. And that's perfectly okay with me if you want to Google it and before you come in and you educate yourself about it. What Google doesn't tell you is make sure you know the related disorders. That's
right.
And make sure you know all the other disorders that could mimic this thing. So to Google a specific disorder is often helpful. If people come into the office and say, well, I Googled, it's okay to say that. I Googled it, I went on WebMD and I found that these are the criteria and I think I meet them.
Right.
That's okay. But remember, that's only one step out of five that you need to do.
Yeah.
Okay. There are a lot of other things. That's why we make the big bucks, because we know this stuff. But I go in, like if you go in for a physical ailment, like you have a bad knee or something, and you say, well, I looked it up and I think I have a torn meniscus. Yeah, you might, but it might be 10 other things that you're not thinking about. And that's why you go to a specialist who knows all the other things that it might be.
Right. Now, the other thing that I would say about Googling it, and as you were talking about it, I was thinking that we should do a whole episode on Google, on Googling some of these things, because what you have to be, please be cautious that you don't Google it and then make yourself fit the criteria.
Right.
You know, sometimes, well, you know what, I do do that. Mm-hmm. You know what, that does happen sometimes, but maybe, you know, sometimes we work ourselves into meeting criteria for something. And then when you come to your evaluation, you say things or you're presenting in a way that makes it difficult because, you know, is it really that way? And are you understanding it the same way that, you know, the clinician would understand it? So, you know, use it as a general guide to understanding yourself a little bit, but please be careful not to,
I always get a kick out of teenagers
when
they come in and they say, well, you know, I've been having intrusive thoughts and mm-hmm. I'm thinking that it might be repetitive. And they use the language mm-hmm. that you would read and you can see that they've done their research mm-hmm. and they have some of the symptoms and they're using that language mm-hmm. to try to convince you that, mm-hmm. which is okay. You know, right. It doesn't bother me and it's going to happen. But the reason we set this up with these five steps is please know that that's only one of the five steps
right.
that you would take.
Right.
There are other things that you need to keep in mind that you mm-hmm. need to know about, and that's what we call clinical skills.
Right.
And we possess those, and orthopedists and cardiologists and pediatricians. Look at a pediatrician. You know, he looks at an infection. It could be a dozen different things.
Right.
It might be impetigo, but it might be something more serious or less serious.
Right.
But it takes a trained eye
right.
to know those things.
Yeah, absolutely.
So go ahead and use Google, but rely on the experts.
Yes, please. So,
what else did I want to say?
I don't know.
Pontificate about.
Oh.
What day is today? Thursday? Friday? Thursday? Friday. Friday!
Recording on Wednesday, but it's
I know, but
it's Friday.
They're going to see this on Friday.
You're right.
I can't remember what the other thing was.
All right. Tomorrow we're going to talk about treatment. So
yeah, what do we do about it?
Yeah, that's going
to
be...
This is not an easy thing to treat. People are... Because by its very nature, people are reluctant to give it up.
Very reluctant,
okay?
Yeah.
These get in your inside and mm-hmm. it's hard to get them back out.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, all right. That is it for today. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid. Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We would be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning. Thank you.